Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
That is one of our goals. We try and keep every game the same as much as possible, but we also want to recognize, you know, chances to and opportunities to achieve goals, you know, kind of mile markers along the way to the ultimate goal here. So we're aware of that, and again, what drives that is our preparation more than anything.
Head coach Sean McDermott there as the Bills get ready for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football in what will be a snowy scene in Orchard Park, New York. Sports Talk Saturday, hour number three here. Derek Kramer, Evans on the board, and now we are joined on the West Her Hotline by Alex Braske of the Batavia Daily. Alex, it's been a minute since we were able to talk to you, but it's great to hear from you again. I hope you had yourself a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I'm enjoying some leftovers today, winterizing my windows as the snow starts to fall here in historic Batavia, New York, and a small wager placed on the Michigan Wolverines against the Ohio State Buckeyes. So all is well in Brasky World.
Hey, Brasky World sounds like a great place right now. And but now I'm going to ruin it with questions. Hope you're ready. So, Alex, of course, Bills sitting here second in the conference, frustratingly so, 9-2. They can clinch the division, though, with a win tomorrow night in week 12 or week 13. It's hilarious to see that being the case. It would also be the fifth straight AFC East title, and it would match their longest playoff streak in franchise history. So there is some reassuring news on the way with a win if they're able to get it tomorrow night.
Yeah, all that great stuff you mentioned, and Josh Allen getting engaged to his soon-to-be beloved Haley Steinfeld. So a lot of positive news surrounding the Bills. It seems like they should be locked into that one seed. It seems like the Chiefs should have lost about three more times than they have this season. That game last night, what a debacle from the Raiders. I mean, Matt Eberflus is probably the only one in America grateful for what happened last night. But that being said, the Bills looking for a franchise record, fifth straight divisional title. Like you said, what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have been able to transform this franchise into under their leadership. We were all here for the drought, and now to experience what could be a franchise-setting record playoff streak. It's really incredible to watch, and you have to give those two men a lot of credit. Also, when you have the franchise quarterback, such as Josh Allen, that is the centerpiece of everything and really the fuel that makes the engine go. But, yeah, this team, who would have thought at the beginning of the season with all the transition they were going through this offseason, with the wide receiver core, the defense, the offensive line, this, that, and the other thing, two new coordinators, and they find themselves sitting pretty heading into this primetime matchup with the 49ers.
Alex, of course, with a lot of the good there, with how the Bills are constructed this year, it does seem a little different. There has been more of an emphasis on balance, on not having everything placed on Allen's plate. despite the fact that he plays well, the Bills do have themselves an MO of wanting to run the football. Whether it's James Cook or Ray Davis or Ty Johnson, it seems like the Bills have some promise in the backfield and an offensive line to help get it done.
Absolutely. I think that was the transition they wanted to make with their offense under Joe Brady, dating back to last season. You saw him utilize the running game much more. And then the transition they made along the offensive line, letting Mitch Morris go, transitioning to bigger bodies along the interior with David Edwards and Connor McGovern. It's really worked wonders. James Cook has been able to punch in those touchdowns inside the red zone, 10 on the season, if I'm not mistaken. That's a new career high. Ty Johnson has been a phenomenal third down back. And Ray Davis, you've seen splashes as well, although his implementation into the offense hasn't been as consistent as the other two. Yeah, I think the utilization of the running game has certainly taken that off Allen's plate, as you said, with Cook being able to score a little bit more in the red zone. Obviously, that was a big part of Allen's game early in his career, even recent as last season. But with Cook getting more involved, and I mentioned the other two. And then I had Bruce Nolan on right here, right now, live Buffalo Football Talk with my co-host A.J. Cebulski yesterday, and he mentioned the X factor of the Bills offense is Khalil Shakir, and I couldn't agree with him more. What he's done in terms of yards after catch, those are easy yards and those easy button throws, as AJ likes to call them, with those screens that they've been working to Khalil Shakir, has also helped Allen kind of scale things back, become more efficient, more mistake free, and everything combined with Joe Brady's tutelage has really worked wonders for the Bills, as I said.
First of all, love Bruce. Bruce is a great dude. And mentioning Khalil Shakir is exactly where I was going to go with this, as the wide receiver core looks like it's steadied up and it's just fine now. Amari Cooper comes back, and the last game that we saw these Bills was against Kansas City. Amari Cooper with a nice little one-handed grab along the sideline. Khalil Shakir does Khalil Shakir things. And it looks like this, after a lot of questions heading into the season and as late as week 5, it looks like the wide receiver core is finally in a healthy place where now you see Matt Collins being wide receiver 3 only in a pinch, and he's able to contribute as a fourth wide receiver on this team. Dawson Knox has been able to help out with Dalton Kincaid banged up. It seems like the wide receivers, it's now doing just fine, and they might get Keon Coleman back as well for this game against San Fran.
Yeah, enough can't be said about Khalil Shakir, but obviously we already touched on him. I think you also hit the nail on the head with Matt Collins and now Curtis Samuel starting to emerge a bit. The Bills have been looking for those reserve-type wide receivers to kind of play their role these past number of seasons. You look back at a Trent Sherfield, a Deontay Hardy recently, and they never seem to catch on. But this year, Matt Collins, I think, has done exactly what they brought him in to do. He's playing fine on special teams, and he's also contributing offensively through some injuries. We've seen him catch some balls down the field, catch some big balls over the middle as well, a couple of touchdowns. So I think the depth of this wide receiver core is much, much more impressive than people gave it credit for at the outset of the season. And then even if you look at the top end of the receiver core, if you have a guy like Khalil Shakir being as consistent as he is, and if Keon Coleman can get back healthy, what he was producing before when he went out, he was looking like one of the best rookie wide receivers in the league, going up, making those contested catches. So I think you're absolutely correct. This wide receiver core has really impressed. Dalton Kincaid hasn't been as impressive as many believed he would be, but the wide receiver core has really picked up the slack.
By the way, I went ahead and looked back on it. Matt Collins has caught his last 11 targets when he was having real issues with a completion percentage with his target share. He's become far more effective these last three games. Last we saw them, though, Josh Allen closes it out against Kansas City, makes what Jim Nance calls play of the year, an MVP-type moment. How is it, though, that Allen continues to still almost fly under the radar of sorts when it comes to an MVP race, when he does the spectacular on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I was on, I believe, your fellow station in Rochester, The Fan, with Gene Battaglia and Mike Danger.
Yep.
Last week, or leading into the Chiefs game, actually, and I was asked if I still thought he had a chance to win MVP, and at that time I didn't. I thought the 9-for-30 game against the Ravens and the way that Lamar Jackson was playing at the time, I just didn't see Allen as being as much of a front runner or having as good of a chance to win that MVP. But after that performance and specifically that play, those are plays that stand out in terms of the voters' minds. And if you look at his interception numbers, I think that's going to be the key for him in terms of MVP voting. If he's able to keep those numbers down and get back to his early season pace, he's been a little bit more turnover prone in recent games. But if he's able to scale those back and continue to make those heroic plays, those plays of the year, as Nance said, I think he's going to make it very, very difficult on the MVP voters. I think it's going to come down to him and Jackson, but we'll see at the end of the day. Do you think Saquon Barkley might have a chance?
I think Saquon should have a chance. I mean, the Eagles have been a good team in years past, but with the decline in play in Jalen Hurts, I do think that Saquon Barkley should at least get a seat at the table worthy of conversation because of what he's been able to do for the Eagles. And you look at what a team is doing without him, it kind of helps elevate your case a little bit with just how much of a disaster the Giants are without Saquon.
Agreed. I'm not sure Brian Daboll or Joe Shane can survive that one, specifically Shane. But obviously we know with the structure, once the GM goes, usually the head coach is to follow. That just has proven to be such a poor decision. Daniel Jones now in Minnesota, that's really, really tough for the old Bills alumni there.
It definitely is. And the minute that contract handed out to Daniel Jones, who's now no longer there, I feel like that spelled the end for Shane and for Daboll there. Meanwhile, shame on me. I've gone 2 hours and 15 minutes without talking about one of my favorite players on this Bills team right now, and that's Rasul Douglas. I feel like ever since he came from trade last year from Green Bay, not only the immediate impact that he's had on this team, but how well they were able to shift as painstakingly and as heartbreakingly as they had to move away from Tre'Davious White. Rasul Douglas comes in here and says, I'll be cornerback one for you. And then, hey, Christian Benford's on the other side.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Yeah, I don't think it's any mystery that Christian Benford started to take off once the Bills welcomed Rasul Douglas into the fold. He's one of the most savvy players I've ever seen play the cornerback position. And watching he and Christian Benford throughout practices these past 2 years, those two guys are attached to the hip as far as hour after practice. Sometimes the media scrums are still going on, and those two are in the field house fine-tuning their skills. I posted a minor video to social media during practice this past week, iron sharpens iron, and that's really what it's been for these two since Douglas entered the fold. So I totally agree with you in terms of Rasul Douglas's production in his own right. That's undeniable. The interceptions last year, he's missed a few this year, but just as consistent as they come on the opposite side of Benford. But I think also something you have to credit him with is helping Benford's progression, maybe expediting it a little bit. You also have to give the credit to Benford, and he was showing signs even before Douglas came over. But I think you bring a veteran like that in, somebody who's willing to spread their knowledge, I think that's really worked wonders for Benford.
Staying on the defense here, of course, Matt Milano, the big story. He might be coming back for this game. And I'd imagine if he does return, he'll be on a pitch count because Dorian Williams has been playing just fine in his stead. I would imagine, though, that the fans were envisioning and dreaming of the scenario of having Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano next to each other, side by side in the linebacking core. But at some point, just how difficult is it going to be to keep Dorian Williams off the field and limit Milano snaps when he comes back?
I don't think it's going to be difficult to keep Dorian Williams off the field. I think once Matt Milano is ready to go full bore, I think you give him as many snaps as he's willing to take. Now, I was talking to Bruce yesterday. I was under the impression, as you are, that maybe they'll work him back in this week or whenever he is to return to game action. But Bruce is under the impression that once he's out there, he's going to be out there. And I agree with him in the sense that you're not going to split time between him and Dorian Williams. As well as Dorian Williams has played this year, Matt Milano is a former All-Pro, somebody who hasn't played in however many days. I think it's an incredible number. I can't remember the exact number, but he's a former All-Pro. He's somebody who's proved it in this league year after year. He's one of your veteran leaders. And like I said, as well as Dorian Williams has played, he's also had his fair share of slip-ups. So I think this has been a fantastic year in terms of Dorian Williams' progression. But you want that veteran back. You want that former All-Pro level player back on the field as often as possible. And then you have Dorian Williams waiting in the wings. We saw last year come playoff time, Terrell Bernard goes down. They have nobody to go to in their linebacking core. They got to call in A.J. Klein. So it doesn't hurt to have some depth at the position. You don't have to force anything here.
Alex Brasky of the Batavia Daily joining us here on the Westura Hotline. Bills 49ers Sunday Night Football tomorrow night in Orchard Park, New York. Alex, of course, the snow is going to be a big factor here, but less worryingly so because of the fact that the Bills are a more balanced team this time around.
Yeah, for sure. That running game is definitely going to help them in this case. We saw it against the Colts way back when with LeSean McCoy trudging through the feet of snow. That certainly helped their case in that game, and I'm sure James Cook and the crew will help their case in this one. I didn't mention with Matt Milano, I think that may play into whether or not we see him this week. Maybe if the weather is playing a role come game time, maybe they wait, play him next week in a more controlled environment in L.A., but I think they want to get him back out there in front of the home crowd, a primetime environment. Can you imagine the pro wrestling pop of Matt Milano being introduced if they are to introduce the defense tomorrow night? But yeah, the weather is certainly interesting to follow. I've been following it on social media. Michael Schwartz of WKBW posted a video live from the stadium about, yeah, I want to say 20, 30 minutes ago, and it's really starting to ramp up there. But all the reports that I've heard is it's going to stop in time for the game to be played under relatively normal conditions. It's just going to be a matter of clearing everything out for the fans to get there and for the fans to sit down in their seats. I know that they've employed shovelers and the Buffalo City Works, or I'm not saying the department's name right, but they do a great job trying to clear the way for fans to get to the stadium. So we'll see how it all plays out. Like I said, we're starting to see our first flakes here in Batavia. We're not supposed to get much of it. It's supposed to stay pretty south and north of us. But, well, like I said, interested to see how it all plays out. Hopefully everybody stays safe, though.
Yeah, of course. Everyone's staying safe. Drive safe. And if you see someone in an unfortunate situation, if you're able to help them, do the Buffalo thing. Make sure you you're able to, though, if you're willing to help them. Alex, the last thing I've got for you, it's the burning question of the day, and I've had a lot of callers on this today. How confident are you in the Bills in the chase for the one seed, and how much pixie dust do you think the Kansas City Chiefs still happen to have if they haven't run out yet?
I think the way things are trending, the Bills are going to have a very, very good opportunity to claim that one seed at season's end. The way that the Bills' schedule kind of scales back at the end of the year with the matchup with the Jets, I don't have the schedule in front of me, and then the two against the Patriots, so those three easy divisional matchups, and then the Chiefs, the way that they're playing right now, I'm just not so sure that they can keep this going. You see them come off the field yesterday. It looked like as if they had lost the game, and that is how they should have felt. They played poorly against a Raiders team that had lost seven games in a row going into the game, and it took a completely botched play at the end for them to walk away a winner. So the Bills will have a chance to claim the one seed at season's end. I'm just not so sure it's as important as everybody's making it seem. This year, with the Bills having that late season bye, I think they're pretty well rested. And you look at the injury report, they're starting to get a little bit healthier. Now, that could change in a few weeks, but as it stands right now, I'm not so sure that bye week would help them as much as it would in past years. And there's a chance I think it might kind of throw them off course if they continue to play as well as they are. And you get Milano back, and if he's starting to click on all cylinders, you might want to just keep it rolling. I'm not saying a game off would necessarily kill a team, but sometimes you want to keep that rhythm alive.
Alex, I appreciate being able to talk to you again. And in case people aren't following what you're doing around these parts, let them know where to find your work.
Yeah, you can follow me on X at Alex Brasky, other social media channels as well. I'm over on Blue Sky because it seems like a lot of Bills Mafia are trending over there. Also on Instagram, you can listen to the Right Here, Right Now podcast with myself and AJ. We put out a couple of podcasts each week, and our work is also available on thedailynewsonline.com. We do a little bit of commentary each week and a game preview as well and some post-game coverage. So keeping the fans involved with the Batavia Daily News, and my apologies, it's the Patriots, Jets, and Patriots is how the Bills end the season. Yep. So, yeah, like I said, I think they're going to have a chance at that one seed.
All right, Alex, I appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on. And what's the Thanksgiving food that you hate seeing in the spread?
Cranberry sauce.
There it is.
I don't think there's any need for it.
Haters today. Let's go.
I cook Thanksgiving for my family pretty regularly. There's been a few years where it hasn't worked out when the Bills have been in Detroit, this, that, and the other thing. But I actually forgot the cranberry sauce this year. I got back home afterward, and I saw it in my cupboard, and I was like, no one noticed.
No one noticed. That's perfect. That's exactly it. You forgot, as the air quotes are there for you. I got you, man.
Right.
Appreciate it, Alex. Have yourself a good weekend. And obviously, if you're going to be out there covering the game, try to stay warm.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's Alex Brasky, Batavia Daily here on the West Hur Hotline. Again, Bills 49ers, Sunday Night Football, 8:20 kickoff tomorrow night. Coverage starts right here on WGR at 2 p.m. We'll take a break. Come on back. We can keep talking about the one seed. We can keep talking about the Sabres. We'll talk about anything and everything that 30 minutes has left for us here. Sports Talk Saturday. We're going to keep wrapping things up here on WGR.